Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up at 10:30, ESPN's Stefano Fusaro will join us. If you're curious as to how sports are going to come back, major American team sports, the MLS is going first. Stefano is the only reporter for ESPN who is in Orlando at the MLS's bubble. We'll talk to him about what the hell that's like, because I think every major American team sport is going to be watching the MLS pretty closely. So we'll get his, thoughts on how everything's going, how many tests he's dealing with, are his nostrils flared up right now with how many tests he's dealing with. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there to discuss with him, including some LAFC stuff and some Galaxy stuff. But at 11:15, Ariel Helwani's going to stop by because there's big news in the UFC. Jorge Masvidal is going to fight Kamaru Usman on 6 days' notice. It's a big fight. I'm watching that thing. I'm buying that fight. So we'll get into all that. It's all brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, running on the same networks as the big boys for 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. No contract, no compromise. Straight Talk Wireless. All right, Bergman, I got a couple things for you. Before we even get into there's some stuff on the Lakers that I want to get into here in the first segment. There's some stuff AD said. There's some stuff on ESPN.com about the Lakers. But before that, you apparently had a great weekend, except for the end of your weekend. What happened at the end of your weekend?
So last night I decided that it would be a really good idea to eat an entire pint of Ben and Jerry's half-baked ice cream at 8 o'clock at night.
Wow. Why would you eat that much? Like, that's a lot.
Well, I mean, the way that I thought about it was I was eating it, and then it was kind of melting because I had to walk it back. And so it was already kind of going down. So I was like, I might as well just finish the whole thing. And then, you know, that didn't work out so well for me throughout the night or this morning or, you know, maybe in 15 minutes.
Right.
So don't do that, people. Don't eat an entire pint of Ben and Jerry's half-baked ice cream at night.
Yeah, but dude, like, what made you think that you should eat a whole, like, they honestly, it says that you should eat, I think there's like, how many servings are in one of those? If you had to.
Three or four?
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you just have a little bit? Why did you have to have the whole thing?
Because that involves having some kind of control over myself when it comes to those things, and that just doesn't exist in my brain, unfortunately.
Oh my goodness. Like, I mean, I love ice cream as much as the next person, but Laura, isn't it that kind of his fault? Like, if his stomach, oh, she's not here. All right. So we'll get to Laura later. But my thing is this, Bergman, if you exposed yourself to that much ice cream, like, that's your own damn fault if you've got the poops today.
No, it's completely my fault. And I knew throughout the entire night, I was sitting there going, like, it was like 12 o'clock at night, and I was still awake because I couldn't fall asleep, just thinking, that was so stupid. Why did I do this to myself? And then when I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, saying the exact same thing, and it just continued on, and it's still continuing now. I'm not going to do it again until, like, next year.
Dude, you got to be, it's
quarantine. You've never done this? You've never done this, George?
No. No, I mean, not since I was like in high school, no, or college, but no, as an adult, I don't eat the whole pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream or whatever you ate.
It's like, just so good. It's just so good, though, George. Like, you're in the middle of it, and it
you're a godforsaking adult. Have some willpower. You know what I'm saying?
It has cookie dough. It has brownie bits. It has the chocolate and vanilla.
So
ice cream
they bought a Haagen-Dazs version of that here, like cookie dough, whatever ice cream, and I had, I don't know, a couple of, like, not even like a whole scoop. I just had like half a little scoop, and that's fine. Like, it's it. Like, you got to have self-control, man.
Self-control and me are very difficult. When it comes to sweets, anything else, I have great self-control. When it comes to sweets, it's very, very difficult to say
all right.
No.
All right. Let me tell you about something that you won't have a lot of difficulty with. Well, actually, on the flip side, you may have a lot of difficulty with. So ESPN has put out its power rankings heading into the bubble, right? The 22 teams for the NBA restart. Number one, the Milwaukee Bucks, which, look, I think they were, I don't think you can, like, have a huge argument about the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, maybe you could say the Lakers or whatever because they beat them at the end. But I don't think, like, you can muster up a tremendous argument and be like really incredulous and be like, oh my God, I can't believe they picked the Bucks over the Lakers, right? Like, I'm sure there's somebody that can, But I can't muster that kind of energy, and I'm sure you can't either.
No, no. I mean, it makes I do think that the Lakers are the best team going into the bubble, but I understand why they put the Bucks.
Right. So now here's where you're going to have a problem. Number two on this list are the Clippers. And the Clippers are number two. Their previous ranking was number three. And it talks about just having their whole team back together, and the Clippers will have to kind of build some chemistry again and dealing with the unprecedented situation. But that the health part of this will help them, particularly with Paul George, right? Kawhi had some lingering injuries, but Paul George was banged up, right? Like, he had the issues with the hamstrings. Number three, your Los Angeles Lakers. And they are, and there are a couple of things here as to why they're number three. But go ahead. You were going to say something. I heard you breathing heavy.
No, I thought you were pausing. I was trying to respect the pause. But I don't understand why they flip-flopped that. So keep going, and then I'll explain later.
So I think part of their reasoning is something we talked about last week. Anthony Davis is reluctant to play the five this season, even though the Lakers' defensive efficiency, get this, this is incredible. Even though the Lakers' defensive efficiency was at its best with him there, allowing a minuscule 101.4 points per 100 possessions, according to ESPN stats and info. Frank Vogel says he's hopeful not to saddle Davis at center any more than we were doing prior if Howard isn't available. That leaves the lion's share for JaVale McGee, who has averaged only 16.8 minutes per game as the starting center this season. So their questions are Dwight, which we still don't have answers on, and the fact that Anthony Davis is reluctant to play the five, even though his numbers are absolutely incredible while he's there.
I just don't understand. They're talking about how the Clippers are going to have to reestablish their continuity. They're going to have to reestablish all that. And the Lakers are not going to have to do that, even without Dwight, even without Avery Bradley.
Well, I disagree.
They already showed that when they started off the season, they were already.
Right, but if you take Dwight out of the equation, like, that's a big piece of the puzzle. That's not like a small piece.
No, I don't think it's a small piece, but I think that they can have other guys step up. I think that that as much as Dwight is a pretty decent-sized piece, especially coming off the bench, the main pieces are still there that they're going to need to push forward. So they already have the chemistry built in.
Well, here's what I would say, and this is what it's going to boil down to. And honestly, I've said this numerous times for months, right? Going back to pre-pandemic. This season is going to hinge upon Anthony Davis. I know that sucks to say that it really hinges on one person because there's a lot of intricacies that go into winning a championship. I'm not disputing that, okay? But overall, the biggest reason for the Lakers winning a championship will be because of Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis's reluctance to play the five, he's going to have to get over that, and he's going to have to play the five more, particularly in the postseason. Hopefully he understands that, because we know what LeBron is going to give you in the playoffs. We just do. We know what he's going to bring to the table. Anthony Davis, while putting up big numbers, still has some questions, right? Like, we have questions about his playoff viability. I don't think they're fair to question, because he didn't necessarily play on with another great player. But that's the reality of the world that he's going to live in. And it doesn't mean that the Avery Bradley thing isn't a big deal, though I don't think it's as big a deal as Dwight. It doesn't mean that the Dwight part of this isn't a big deal, because I think it is. But the Anthony Davis portion of this, if we were dibbing this up like slices of pizza, the Anthony Davis portion of this pizza would be closer to half, and the other parts are kind of mixed in there with the other half of the pizza pie, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree. Now, let me ask you, do you really believe that if he needs to play center, Anthony Davis will not play center because he's so against it?
No, I think that LeBron can convince him otherwise. I do. I do believe LeBron can convince him otherwise, and I do think that he understands that in this situation, that if you're going to win a championship, you have to make sacrifices. And the sacrifices he's going to have to make are playing center, okay? I've seen this before, right? Like, there's a lot of guys who were reluctant to play center. Al Horford, I'll give you, is a perfect example. For a long time, didn't want to be a guy who played center. But then he realized, oh, the best position I play is center. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're best when I play center. That's when he was with the Hawks. That's when he was with the Celtics. Even in limited opportunities, because Joel Embiid is there, with the Sixers, it's the same thing. And, you know, I remember way beyond that, right? Like, you know, now he wasn't as reluctant to play center, but people would question, and this is like a long time ago now, right? People were questioning whether Chris Bosh could hold up as a center, and he held up just fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think that there are numerous examples, whether it's the media questioning a guy can play there or a guy kind of not really being on board with it and it working out. And Anthony Davis just has to get there and realize that. And maybe he does, but maybe he's just saving himself for the playoffs. And I hope that's the case, because that's the best chance for the Lakers to win a championship, is Anthony Davis playing the five.
And that's what I think he's going to end up doing, no matter what. It's, look, if Dwight is there and he doesn't have to play the five, then great. That's awesome. Anthony Davis will be ecstatic that he doesn't have to play as much five. He'll still have to play some, because both JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard will be off the floor at the same time sometimes, and AD will still be there. But if Dwight's not there and decides not to play, he's just going to have to step up, and he knows that he's going to have to do that, and he will do it because he's done it so many times in the past, and he knows that he plays it well. He just doesn't want to do it if he doesn't have to. So right. I think this is all just a lot of, you know, stuff that people are worrying about. This is partly why I think that having the Lakers in that three spot behind the Clippers because of Anthony Davis not wanting to play the five is kind of ridiculous.
I mean, ridiculous? Is it ridiculous?
Well, no, because what we just talked about, if he has to play the five, he's going to play the five.
Well, but until we see it, it's kind of hard to sit here and we could talk about it all we want, but until he sees it, and look, it's not like the coach didn't just say that he's hopeful not to saddle Davis at center. Any more than they were doing prior. Like that right there, that's not like when you hear that phrase, I don't think that phrase is encouraging that he's going to play more five.
I mean, that's still the hope. It all saying I don't want to do it. If I have to, I will. And if Anthony Davis has to, he will.
Is the sentence Frank Vogel said he's hopeful to not saddle Davis at center any more than he was doing prior. Does that sound encouraging to you?
It doesn't change the way I feel about it.
I'm asking you a very simple question. I don't care how you feel about it. Does that sentence sound encouraging is my question.
Encouraging, I mean, not towards him wanting to play center. That's a tough question to answer.
No, it's not a tough question to answer.
No, there's no encouraging part of it that is like, oh, yeah, that's encouraging or not encouraging. I don't think that
Greg,
works.
Don't argue semantics with me. When I say someone, okay, let me paint it this way, okay?
Okay.
George Sedano says he's hopeful that Greg doesn't have to go to the bathroom that many times because he ate a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream yesterday. He's hopeful that he doesn't have to go to the bathroom more than he normally does during a show. Is that an encouraging sentence?
Yeah, I think it is, because you're at least being positive about it. You're hopeful that you don't have to. So I know where you're trying to lead me, but it doesn't. I still don't think it works that way.
Okay, fine. I'm just saying that.
So upset.
I'm not at all, actually. But what I'm saying is, I hope that Anthony Davis realizes he's going to need to play a lot of center in this thing. Even if Dwight is there, they're better when he's playing center.
Absolutely. That's why they're both going to be off the floor at plenty of times. Look, Dwight Howard is a walking foul a lot of games. So, and then you only can play JaVale, you know, 15, 16 minutes because that's how it's been working. So there's a bunch of other minutes there where AD's going to have to play the five, and he's great at it. So I'm fine with it.
All right, coming up next, Jeannie Buss weighing in on a hotly contested debate in the NFL. We'll tell you about that in just a second. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your home insurance and get a quote at progressive.com today. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Greg, how is your stomach holding up?
It's got some bubbles, but it's doing all right. I think we're doing okay for right now.
For those that don't know, Greg ate a whole pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream last night, right before bed, which is never a really good sign. Laura, does he deserve everything he's about to get here potentially today?
Yes. Ice cream is a no-go at 8 p.m. and then you ate that much? Come on, Greg. Thought you were working on your weight, bro.
I was.
I know, that's true. You were supposedly working on your weight. That's not a way to work on your weight.
Just saying.
So this weekend was just a it's kind of a fallback. I went backwards this weekend just because I didn't have the kids went out to their grandparents' house. So it was kind of a lone weekend with me and my girl. And we just kind of ate badly. So I'm starting again today. Went on my morning walk. It's all going away. No more ice cream. It's over.
Okay. Mm. I don't know if I believe that, but
yeah, I don't know if I buy it either, to be honest with you, really. But anyway, hey, so a big debate was going on this weekend about the Washington football team, right? And their new nickname. So if you don't know what's happening, the Washington Redskins are probably going to change their name. Adam Schefter has been reporting that. FedEx basically said, all right, enough is enough. Three of the minority owners, which own 40% of the team, have told Daniel Snyder they're out if he doesn't do it. Nike has put pressure on them. So it's now happening. Ron Rivera has finally put some pressure on them. And by the way, of all this stuff, did you see what Jeannie Buss tweeted about this, Greg?
No, what'd she say?
This was on July 2nd. So it was right before the weekend. And I retweeted it for those that didn't get a chance to see it. So you can see it at Sedano. And I thought she made an unbelievably compelling argument. I thought it was fantastic on her part. It was talking about, at the time, Nike and FedEx and Pepsi looking to sever ties with Washington. And she wrote, the argument I've heard is about the argument for keeping the name. Quote, if we change the team's name, we lose our history. My reply, and by the way, she's right. That's what most people are saying, which is kind of silly. But I thought she surmised it perfectly. Jeannie said, my reply, it's human beings, she writes in capital letters, who created the memories and won the games, not a logo, she wrote in caps. A change in name will not alter what Art Monk, Dexter Manley, Daryl Green, Doug Williams, etc. means to the fans. She's absolutely 1,000,000% right. Like, I know that fans get attached to the name and they feel like the history of the team gets altered. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, the history is the history. Like, you won those Super Bowls with those guys, right? Like, Joe Gibbs is still one of the great coaches to ever coach in the NFL. And, I don't see that being an issue. Like, the guys who won are the guys who won. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the source of pride is the source that the city won, the organization won. The logo part of it, yeah, I don't get that being that big of an issue.
No, it's not a big issue. And, you know, teams change their names all the time. It happens quite often. Tennessee did it when they changed over.
The Oilers. They went to the Titans. Right.
Right.
And that wasn't even an offensive thing. It just wasn't. There's no oil in Tennessee.
Right. Well, the Baltimore Ravens were the Baltimore Browns when they moved from you know.
Right. They were the Cleveland Browns. Right.
Yeah, they were Cleveland Browns, and they changed their name. And, you know, like, teams, look, we talk about how often that the Utah Jazz doesn't make sense. They came from New Orleans, where Jazz made sense.
Right.
But people, like, teams change their names. The Dodgers were the Bridegrooms at one point. Are we upset that they didn't keep the Bridegrooms?
I mean, what the hell is a Bridegroom, by the way?
It's you know, somebody that's getting married, I guess. I have no idea.
Really? I mean, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, the Bride and Groom? I have no idea. That's
let me see.
Like,
Bridegroom is often just shorted to groom, is a man who will suit. Oh, wow. So that's just it. It was the original name for groom. We just go with groom now.
No. Yeah. Well, that's what the Dodgers were. They were the Brooklyn Bridegrooms.
That's funny.
Change your name. Totally fine.
Yeah. I just don't think this is a huge deal.
Do you think? And now you have the Cleveland Indians, and they're going to change their name as well.
Yeah.
Which is great.
That's fine.
Good.
Right. Because here's the thing. Those names, the majority, particularly Washington, right? The majority of Native Americans, these polls have been around forever, right? The majority of Native Americans find that name in particular offensive. The Indians one, I think it is also offensive to them because they're not Indians. They are Native Americans. So they find that one relatively offensive at times too. What I would say is, if there's a percentage, which regardless of whether it's 50%, 51%, 49%, 48%, I don't care what the percentage is. If there's a large enough percentage of people that are offended by it, then just change the damn name. And here's the thing. I think maybe I'm just not, like, I don't get up in arms about things. Like, it's funny. So I'll give you a perfect example. On social media this weekend, I'm rarely on Instagram, okay? I mean, I'm on Instagram, George Sedano ESPN is where you can find me. And look, sometimes I respond to people or whatever. And so I saw this thing this weekend from, you know, the guy who does the frozen cold takes, you know, handle?
Yes.
Yeah. So he basically takes old takes that people like me say, and then he posts them and they age really poorly, and then everyone makes fun of them. It's actually a really funny bit. Like, I'm happy for the guy. His name is Fred. And he's created like a fun social media account, because there's a lot of stupid things that people say over the years. And yeah, you should come back to have to deal with some of those things occasionally.
Receipts.
So he wrote one. I don't even know what it was, but I was on Instagram and I noticed that he posted one with like some fancy graphics or whatever. And I know the guy a little bit. So I wrote, wow, look at you. Fancy graphics and all. Who are you? And I just left it there. Right. I come back an hour later and people are like yelling at me like, hey, man, he took that from something called Clutch Points. Can't you just see the thing on the bottom? Can't you see the whatever it was called? I don't know what it was. But anyway, long story short, it was like literally, you know how like sometimes these graphics, Greg, that people post on social media, at the bottom, it'll say like really small hat tip, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like hat tip. Greg Bergman, right? So this thing said Clutch Points really small at the bottom right-hand corner. I wasn't even paying attention. I was out on a walk, and I was so tired on this hike that I stopped for a second, and I opened my Instagram, and that's what I saw. But anyway, long story short, is that everyone was yelling at me. And I was like, dude, no offense. If you're getting that bent out of shape because I didn't see something that was that small on the bottom right-hand corner, you need a life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't say it like that, but I was trying to be nicer. But that's really what I was thinking. And what I would say to this about people who get attached to, like, team names and things like that, I just don't care enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, about there are things in life that you should prioritize, right? There are things that matter. Your family should matter. Your friends should matter. I'm not saying sports shouldn't matter. Because if people didn't have such a passion for sports, we wouldn't be in this business, okay? And I clearly love sports, but there are certain things, even about sports, that I'm like, eh, I just shrug my shoulders. And like, it's not going to make or break my life if a team changes their name, even one that I grew up watching. Like, I don't care. I'm still going to root for the team. Like, it's not going to make any difference because it's about civic pride in that situation. It's about representing the city that you want to represent, right? Like, if you're – I'm not saying that the Lakers would ever change their name. There's no need to change their name. But by the way, the Lakers were the Minnesota Lakers because there's a lot of lakes in Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? But they kept the name and whatever. But had they changed the name – you know, back when, you know, in the day when they moved from Minneapolis to Los Angeles, now in 2020, I don't think anyone would have cared back then. Kind of to your point, Greg, about the Brooklyn Bridegrooms or whatever the Dodgers were.
Right. It doesn't really matter. Like, if the Yankees trade, you were a lifelong Yankee fan, grew up a Yankee fan. So yeah. If the Yankees changed their name to like the Pinstripes randomly because someone didn't like how.
Whatever, dude. It doesn't make a difference. They still have 27 championships or whatever. That's all that matters. Yeah.
And yes, that's all that matters. And just going back to the Clutch Points thing for a second. Clutch Points is a pretty big site, and every single one of their one of their graphics look exactly the same. So just saying, I understand where they're coming from. I don't think it's a big deal. But it is pretty funny that people went nuts. I'm looking at it right now so I can see how people got really mad at you.
I mean, I was like, dude, like somebody literally went at me and was like, yo, man, I don't know what, because I said I didn't realize that Instagram was as well actually, you know, hashtag well actually as Twitter was. And somebody was like, I don't even know what well actually means. It's about being fair, gang. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? I'm like, who's not being fair? Like, who cares? Like, no offense. Like, I didn't see it. Like, it's okay. Like,
I'm like you. I'm really only on Twitter. I barely do anything on Instagram. And I thought that Instagram was just like pictures of your food and, you know, Instagram models.
Oh my God. Instagram is way worse than Twitter now, apparently, is what I've been told.
I don't, Laura, you're on Instagram way more. Is it that bad?
It is. I think it's the new Twitter to a point. And when he said people need to get a life, I'm like, yo, that's seriously everybody on Twitter and Instagram when they're trolling. They don't have lives. That's their life.
I just feel like you only have certain amount of, like, at least I do, right? I only have certain amount of bleeps to give in life. You know what I mean? So I choose to utilize those bleeps that I give, like, you know what I'm saying? Like that I give for something. I want them to matter. It won't, it's not about like, hey, somebody missed mentioning clutch points on an Instagram, you know, post. You know what I'm saying? Like it, you know what? Like I want to focus on, hey, let's, people should wear masks. Like that's something I'm passionate about. That's something I will get bent out of shape about. Like not, hey, what you posted on social media because you didn't give someone the proper credit because, I don't know, you didn't see it because it was like in 3-millimeter font at the bottom. But I just think that people in general are way too angry on the internet. Not that that should be some sort of revelation or anything, but good Lord.
No, it's not a revelation, but that's how the internet is now. It's really unfortunate too. It's just the hate and vitriol that comes out for people about the teeniest, tiniest things. They're like, oh, you made a tiny mistake. I'm coming after you.
I know. It's like, bro, I don't care. I'm 42 years old. I have two kids that run around and scream in my house all day. I don't have time for this. You know, like, right. Like just move on, you know, like, okay, I get it. Sorry, I missed it. My bad. You know, like, and that's it. And it's like, no, we want you to apologize more.
So you need 34 replies about it. That's the important thing.
Oh, jeez, the love of God. So anyway, shout out to Jeannie Buss, though. Back to that, to which was the ultimate point, is that, yeah, like she's right. She nailed it, man. Like, it's about the people who won. It's about the city. It's about celebrating that. And it's about the franchise. The actual name of the franchise. Do you know what's the most important part of the name of the franchise, Greg?
The Washington part?
Yes. 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 That's the most important part. That's it. That's all it should be about. It's not that hard. All right. Coming up next. The first major American team sports league is getting ready to kick off this week. The MLS. They are in the bubble. I think that every sports fan, every sports league for sure, has their eyes on them to see what they do right, to see what they do wrong, to potentially learn from that stuff. My guy, Stefano Fusaro, ESPN reporter, is the only guy at ESPN in the bubble at the MLS tournament. So we will talk to him about what the hell his life has been like and what the players' lives are going through and what we should expect, I guess, for the NBA, which is going to start here pretty soon too, as they get to report later this week to their particular bubble in Orlando. They'll be sharing Walt Disney World with the MLS. So we'll get a kind of a sneak preview from my guy, Stefano Fusaro. He joins us in 60 seconds. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Stefano Fusaro is going to join us here in just a second. He is in the MLS bubble. First a major American team sport to get going. They will kick off this week. Hopefully we can glean off from his experience as to what to expect moving forward with some of the other sports. But before we get to that, it ain't game day, but you still want to feast like it. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor, offer valid at participating locations. So Stefano joins us now here. Stefano, thanks for joining us. All right, so take me through your first few days there and like what your days are like from the testing to when you arrive to how long you quarantine, because I have a lot of questions about this stuff. And first of all, thank you for joining us. And I would assume since you're there, you're healthy and you're safe. But thanks again. But give us the details.
Yeah, I'm safe. I'm good. Thanks for asking. We get tested every other day. I'm 4 tests in now, all of them negative, thankfully. But yeah, we get here first day, we arrive, take our bags up to our room immediately, go get tested, and then we're quarantined for 24 hours. So we were in the room for 24 hours. That goes for everybody who is under, in this resort, in this MLS bubble. That's MLS players, MLS coaches, league officials, staff, media, which there are many of us, but a few members of the media that are here all had to go through the same process. And then it's a temperature check every day, and the testing every other day. And that's usually done in the morning. First thing when I wake up, I'll usually go over when it's my day, go over, get tested, do my temperature check, and then go about my day with all the work that we're doing over here. So definitely an unprecedented experience, George. I mean, I would say, oh, it's something that I've never covered, but really it's something that no one's ever covered. And we're really kind of learning this day by day as we go.
What has the testing been like for you personally?
But, you know, at first it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Some of the horror stories and some of the videos that you see on social media is kind of horrifying. But it wasn't as bad. You know, I think after a couple of days, it's gotten a little more uncomfortable. I don't know if it's because of consistent testing and consistently doing that swab all the way up your nose. I feel like they're picking at my brain at this point. But yeah, I mean, it's gotten a little bit more uncomfortable as it goes. But look, it's necessary. From a personal standpoint, I have a family. Like, I need to be tested every day, and whatever that takes, it is what it is, man. We need to be safe, for sure.
So I know that you said you have a family. Like, I know you have a newborn, too. Congratulations on that. Where are they? Are they back home, or are they in somewhere in Orlando?
No, they are home. Thankfully, we have family going I live in Houston. We have family going to Houston to be with my wife and my daughter, so she won't be totally alone. But as well, they're home, quarantined, not doing a whole lot. My wife is working, but, you know, obviously trying to be as safe as possible. But, yeah, they're home. It's going to be a long 40, 45, 46 days without them. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's a tough conversation, George, and I'm sure that, you know, you have a family, you understand. I mean, it's a conversation that was tough. It took, you know, maybe some tears, and it was, you know, it was a difficult situation, but we decided to do it. And I'm just trying to be as safe as possible over here, as well as my family over there in Houston.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, listen, I get it. Trust me. Not easy to be away from anyone for that long. All right, so let's talk about the players then and the coaches and their protocols. What are their protocols?
So their protocols are the same as far as testing. They get tested every day. If they were told also to walk around the resort and in the bubble in pods of only their own teammates, so you're not seeing a lot of interaction between players on different teams. You might see an occasional, you know, a quick hello in the lobby, you know, from other teams, but they're told to stay together and do everything with their own teammates. They're also getting tested every other day. They're also getting the temperature checks every day. Now, if you do test positive, which, as you know, we have now close to 15 players and probably 17 total confirmed cases here in the bubble, those players have been isolated on another wing of the hotel completely. They get tested every day. They are by themselves, but they do get 5 meals a day delivered to them. So they have different options to be able to eat, but they are completely isolated away from everyone, away from everybody in the hotel. And the tests are occurring in their room with a medical professional that goes to them in full PPE to do the testing.
And with those guys, how many negative tests do they need to be back into action?
So they need to at least have 3 negative tests to get back into action.
Okay.
So it is going to take a while. Look, we've already seen one game be postponed, and that's Vancouver against FC Dallas. We will very likely see, I reported this late last night, the league has not made it official, but Nashville against Chicago on opening night will also be postponed. Nashville got here and has not even been out of their room since they arrived because they had 5 positive tests upon arrival. They have not been able to train. They haven't been able to practice in their first game. Theoretically, on schedule, it was supposed to be in 2 days. So they're not going to be playing that first game. So you're seeing all these different things, and you're going to wonder, there's going to be more positive tests. Other games might be postponed. The plan is to move forward with this tournament. The rate of players that have been infected is still very low. So really, the only teams affected have been FC Dallas, Nashville, and Columbus had 1 player who tested positive. Everybody else has been released from that quarantine. So, I mean, that's the plan. The plan is to move forward, but you're going to have to see at what cost. There might be a lot of games that are postponed. It's not going to look just like the schedule that was first released. The tournament's not going to look that way.
Stefano Fusaro covering the MLS bubble. He's the only reporter there for ESPN. Joining us here as we kind of try to gleam off what is going to happen with some of these other sports getting started, as the MLS will be the first major American team sport to try to get off the ground. So my guess is the schedule, right, the games that will be postponed will still be played, but they'll have to be pushed back in a different order, I would presume, in this particular MLS tournament?
That's the plan. But I can tell you that everything's really fluid right now. There might be some games that won't be played. It's a possibility for sure.
Right.
But the plan is to play them at a later date before the group stage ends, even if that means pushing the tournament back, pushing the final back a few days.
The plan is to get all the games possible throughout the group stage. But I wouldn't be shocked if there are some games that that don't happen. Just it's definitely something that we gotta look for because it's a possibility.
Let me ask you about on the field. Carlos Vela has chosen not to play. Obviously, you're talking about an MVP-type player in this sport. What does that mean? First of all, what has been the reaction to Vela not playing, and what does that mean for LAFC on the field?
Well, what it means for LAFC on the field is, I mean, you're missing your best player. You're missing your best player in the league, best goal scorer in the league by far. So it's going to affect them without a doubt. What were other players saying? I mean, look, I think it was kind of the worst-kept secret. I mean, he's expecting a child. He wasn't comfortable with this whole situation to begin with. And what I'm told through my reporting is that as soon as the rash of positive tests with FC Dallas and Columbus came out, that was kind of his nail in the coffin, if you will, to say, no, I'm not going. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to play. And you got to respect that, right? I mean, you have to respect that. You have players in all the leagues that are coming back that are choosing to not play and opting out of their return for reasons that you really can't really blame them, right? I mean, they're just talking about safety for their own family, and you have to respect that. And players in the league, they understand it. There are plenty of players that are here that have contemplated leaving. I've spoken to a few that have this anxiety going that they really don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, we'll have to kind of see if some of these players want to continue in this tournament with all the news that is coming out. But Vela not coming is really not a surprise.
Stefano Fusaro covering the MLS bubble for us here at ESPN. He's the only reporter there for ESPN. All right, brother, stay healthy, stay safe. Thanks for coming on, okay?
I appreciate it. Take care.
You got it. There he is. All right, coming up next, a new face in the NBA is upon us. The face of the league is starting to be much, much clearer. The future face. We'll get to that in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Stefano Fusaro for joining us there. He's in the MLS bubble, the only ESPN reporter there. All brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. We got what you need to know coming up in a few minutes. It is an interesting day today because Laura always puts the national days up on my on the top of my rundown. And it's National Bikini Day. But did you also know that it's also National Fried Chicken Day? I feel like those two run conversely to each other.
That's true. You can't be in a bikini and love fried chicken.
I mean, you could, but you can't. But you may not eat that much of it. Yes.
Or you might not look that good in that bikini, you know?
Correct.
So this is one of your favorite days then.
Oh, my God, yes.
The fried chicken part.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, I was thinking the bikini one.
Well, that too.
But that too, yes.
For different reasons. I don't look as good in a bikini as I used to, you know what I'm saying? But yes, the fried chicken day.
What happens in Miami, all I know is that it's not all the same everywhere.
The fried chicken day. Oh, like what I would do to have some Roscoe's today.
Are you going to get fried chicken today?
Is Roscoe's open? Are they even open for takeout? Like, I don't even know.
I would assume so.
Roscoe's in years.
So I used to live in Pasadena, so and I lived not that far from the one in Pasadena many, many years ago when I first moved here. And yeah, we would go there. It was delicious. Even though that's not, I know it's not the best one. I know people will call in or whatever, but yeah, it's really, really, really good. By the way, really funny thing that actually happened to me, speaking of food, and asking if things are open. So obviously, you know, now one would assume a lot of things are open, but maybe they're not, you know, just because things have been shut down again to an extent. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's lived here for a very long time, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this before I get into the NBA conversation that I wanted to have. He was telling me, because we were talking about drive-thrus, right? We were talking about just the drive-through options that are available and how smart the companies, the food places that have drive-throughs, how easy it is because it's contactless in a lot of ways, right? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, you know, you can tell how affluent a neighborhood you live in here in LA is, right? And I go, how? And he's like, by the amount of drive-throughs you have around you. He's like, the more affluent, the less drive-throughs. And I'm like, what? I'm like, get out of here. That seems silly. There's no way that's the case. He's like, how many drive-thrus have you ever seen in Beverly Hills? And I'm like, oh, wow. That's a good point. I don't think I've ever seen a drive-thru in Beverly Hills. Now, I could be wrong. I don't live in Beverly Hills. I don't. I mean, I've been there plenty of times, but like, yeah, I didn't really think about that. Like, do you think that's true? This is lifelong Angelino who told me that.
I'm trying to think of all the areas that have the drive-thrus, and he's right.
Like, it's more like suburban neighborhoods or whatever, or like, but like he's talking about like the affluent of affluent neighborhoods. He's like, mm-hmm. he's like, you're not getting drive-thrus in Beverly Hills. Like that was his example. Like you don't like that. That in itself says what you need to know. And he, you know, he started listing other places or whatever. He's like Pacific Palisades. How many drive-thrus there? You know what I'm saying? And he's like, how many drive-thrus you seen in Malibu? And I'm like, wow, you are. I think you're onto something. Is he onto something, Laura?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, people that have that amount of money don't need to go through a drive-thru.
That's not true.
But the convenience of it, man, it's so good. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so much easier.
Yeah, in Calabasas, there. I mean, there are some a little like just outside of Calabasas, but outside. Yeah, it is outside. Exactly. So, yeah, no, it's the big affluent areas do not have drive-thrus. It lessens them.
Is that true? 888 What is our number here? 8888 No. What is our number?
877-710-ESPN.
The reason I say that is because I've been doing the network shows, and I, you know, it's funny. I'm on the network show on the weekend, which I'm not doing anymore after this past weekend. It's been fun, and I appreciate it, but you know, I do need an extra day off here and there. But their number is different. So the last few times I've been on and I've asked for calls, I've given out our number here. So now I'm like, I'm like, what number am I giving out again? So I gave them LA's number a couple of times that I was on the national ESPN radio. But anyway.
So you had to quit. So you had to stop doing those ones. And then you start now, the national number.
Yeah. By the way, people are tweeting at me that Roscoe's is open takeout and for Uber Eats and DoorDash, et cetera, the takeout services. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. But yeah, the drive-thru thing is interesting. I never thought about it that way until it was brought to my attention. I think that's true. But if you want to hop aboard and have the discussion, I'm curious. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. All right, so I mentioned a new NBA face is upon us. The NBA's new face is upon us, Greg Bergman. And he just turned 20 today. Zion Williamson has the best chance, I think, to be the new face of the NBA. I'm not trying to push LeBron out just yet. That's not what I'm doing. But you know you can see the next person coming, right? Usually in these sports. And we saw LeBron coming for a long time, right? After Jordan, you had Shaq and Kobe, right, for a while. But then you knew LeBron was coming, right? Like there was no way around it, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, that's pretty fair to say. I mean, Carmelo was right there, but it didn't actually end up working out for him. Right now, would you take it? Would you put him over KD for the future?
I look
or
at
Giannis.
KD.
Giannis is only like 26.
Giannis is 25. I look at KD as like maybe like a stopgap. You know what I'm saying? Like and I don't mean that in a derisive way. Okay, I mean that in a way like. Maybe Zion's not ready to take the mantle just yet, and KD is the best player. Like, I think there's a difference between being the best player and being the face of the league. I think that there will be a time that if KD comes back 100% from the injury, I think that he's going to end up being the best player because LeBron will probably retire. But I think that Zion has got, like, the total package, right, where he's young, he's coming, right? He's got the personality. You know, KD doesn't feel like – it feels like he is – and I'm not saying this negatively either. I think that KD is just about KD right now. Whereas Zion, like, the world is his oyster, right? KD has seen the good and the bad of being famous. Where Zion is so young still. That he looks at the world and says, oh, this is mine. You know what I mean? Whereas KD can be a little jaded because of the experience, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is. But what's the difference between Zion in New Orleans and Giannis in Milwaukee?
What
25 years old to 20 years old, and Giannis is a absolute complete player that can be the face of the league. And
well, he's not a complete player yet. He's not a complete player yet.
He doesn't have threes yet.
I would say, well, he doesn't even have an in-between game yet. I would say that the issue there is, and again, I'm not saying this derisively, like I'm not saying this to be mean, but I think it will be challenging, not saying it's impossible, but I think it's challenging for an international player to be the face of the NBA.
Okay, that's fair. So then how about we go with Anthony Davis, who is here in LA?
Nah, not a big enough personality. Not a big enough personality.
Does Zion have a gigantic personality? I mean, I don't really hear him too much.
First of all, he's 20 years old. You don't hear him because you don't want to hear him.
I like Zion. I'm like, this again, not like you said, not being derisive.
He's 20 years old. He is unlike anything we've ever seen before, okay? Now, Anthony Davis is also an extraterrestrial in a lot of ways, but we've seen impactful big men. Also, I think that it's a little different, right? When, like, since Zion is more compact, right? I know he's technically a big man, but he's got better handle than you would think for a big man. He's got better passing, way better passing than I think anyone would have thought. I don't feel like Anthony Davis, even though he's got good handle because he used to be smaller and he had that crazy growth spurt, I don't feel like Anthony Davis has the face of the NBA feel to me by any stretch of the imagination. Again, he may end up being the best player in the NBA at some point, but I don't know if he's got like the ability to carry the league kind of thing. Like that kind of personality he's got. Like Zion carried college basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like that in itself was already a pretty big deal.
Sure. To be fair, Anthony Davis kind of carried college basketball.
Not to the same extent. No.
Anthony Davis
Zion Williamson had crazy rating numbers for his games, and that was not the case for Anthony Davis in Kentucky. Now, Kentucky had a lot of great players on the team, but even then, the way people flocked to watch Zion games were different than anything we'd seen in college basketball in a really long time.
Sure. I think Anthony Davis had it on a less, maybe it was on a lesser extent. I'll give you that. But he was a huge face of college basketball. And now, him being here in LA and learning from LeBron James.
I don't see it. I just don't think he's got the same personality. Like, I've been around both guys, Greg. Like, I'm telling you.
I know you have.
That it's not the same. And by the way, Zion, okay, look at this. You know, everyone was talking about his weight, all that. He's lost 25 pounds of fat, added 10 pounds of muscle during the quarantine. He looks like Bane from the Batman movies right now, okay? Zion, by the way, this season, in the 30 games or 20-something games, whatever he's played, almost 24 points per game, 59% shooting, okay, before the stoppage of play. The only other rookie to ever do that is Shaq in the history of the sport, okay? Like, we're talking about a different phenomenon is what I'm telling you.
Look, I think that Zion can be kind of like LeBron in how he comes in and how he becomes a face of the NBA just like that. I think we're underselling what Anthony Davis can be because I don't think he's got that.
Like, people aren't saying, I got to watch Anthony Davis. If that were the case, Zion had more eyes on him in New Orleans in the times he played on national television than Anthony Davis ever had. I'm telling you, I know the ratings. I see the numbers.
No, absolutely. Look, in New Orleans, Zion has become a bigger phenomenon than Anthony Davis
did in New Orleans. Not even just New Orleans. In the NBA coming in.
Yes.
There is bigger hoopla surrounding Zion than there was Anthony Davis.
I made sure to go to Pelicans games against the Lakers because I wanted to see Zion Williamson. I went down to the floor to walk around to see him up close and personal. Absolutely. I just think that if we're talking about who's going to be the face of it coming overall, I think the way that Anthony Davis is here in LA, is an LA figure, if he grows his personality and learns from LeBron and kind of takes on the same type of role that LeBron did, then I honestly believe that Anthony Davis will
You don't got it. You don't learn that at this stage. Like, LeBron had it at a young age. Anthony Davis doesn't. Zion does. Like, that's the difference. You don't just learn that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you either have that kind of personality or you don't. Let me go to Damone in North Hollywood who wants to weigh in on, I believe, the drive-through conversation. What's up, Damone?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, the thing about drive-throughs in rich areas is absolutely true. I've been here 59 years all my life, and it's the same thing with liquor stores. There's no liquor stores in Beverly Hills.
That's a good point.
Liquor Mart. Or something like that, but there's no liquor stores, there's no drive-thrus, and if you don't think that's systematically set up, you're crazy.
That's an interesting point. The liquor stores, for sure. We talked about, actually, thanks for the call, and stay healthy and stay safe. Keyshawn and LZ and I talked about that last week, actually, because we were talking about where we grew up as opposed to where Travis grew up. There was probably a lot more liquor stores for the three of us than Travis. Dwayne is in L.A. Dwayne, what's up?
Absolutely true. There's no drive-thrus in affluent areas.
Yeah.
Think about if you want to add Bel Air.
Yeah.
You want to add Brentwood.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to add Palos Verdes. I mean, anywhere you can think of.
Yeah, it's funny, Dwayne. It never even dawned on me to think about it that way. You know what I'm saying? And to your point, in the South Bay, if on PCH, maybe you'll have some drive-throughs, but those are usually on the side of like Torrance, like that the line where it divides like Torrance and like Manhattan Beach. You know what I'm saying? Or like Torrance and Redondo. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And you know, when you find out, it's like late night, like if you're coming from a club or people's house and you're like looking for, you know, something quick.
Yeah.
And you're in these areas, there's nothing. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no drive-throughs, you know, that you can go through real quick. So
You're right. Absolutely. Dwayne, thank you, buddy. Stay healthy, stay safe, okay?
Thank you, man. You as well.
All right, man. Take care. All right, we'll take more of your calls on this. It just was something that dawned on I never had really thought about it. Because I'm trying to think, like, in other neighborhoods, like when I grew up in South Florida, I'm trying to think, like, the affluent neighborhoods there, do they have drive-throughs? They might
have.
I've
never thought about it either.
Yeah, I don't. I have to think about, like, historically where I've lived. Like, I've lived a lot of places, you know? All right, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Or is this just unique to L.A.? 877-710-ESPN. All right, coming up next, what you need to know, plus the Lakers. If you think you're mad about Greg's conversation about us talking about the face of the league, which, by the way, feel free to chime in on 877-710-ESPN. Zion, is he coming? Is he the next face of the league? Do you buy Greg's argument on Anthony Davis at 26 years old eventually vying to be the face of the league? I think at some point there's like a youth thing. Like there's like a cutoff. It's like Menudo. You can only be in Menudo after a certain age. Like they kick you out of the group basically at that point. When like Ricky Martin was 18, that's it, Ricky Martin. You're out of Menudo. Laura's laughing at that because she knows it's true. Those boy bands, they kick you out of the boy band.
True, man.
The face of the league, you got to get kicked out of the boy band. All right, we'll get to your calls on all that stuff. 877-710-ESPN. Plus, what you need to know coming up in a minute and 30 seconds.